Because we have golf underway, and we'll have the Colonial here in a couple of weeks, thought it might be nice to tell some stories.
And now, another edition of Classic Storytime with the Musers. A special service for the P1s, retelling our favorite stories you might have missed.
And because this show loves golf, we have told a lot of golf stories over the years. Some of them funny, some of them heartwarming. Why does golf lend itself to so many stories?
Like, I don't know.
I feel like it lends itself to more stories than any other sport.
Yeah, that's a bold claim.
It may, though. I guess just because you have so many different situations within the game where you find yourself with different personalities and the game itself is so weird that there's so many variables that can happen, maybe.
Are there more wild wheels-off moments and shots than in other sports?
Yeah, I think so.
And there's a lot of downtime, so you have a lot of time, you know, around.
You have a lot of time for story making.
Yes.
Yeah.
A 5-6 hour round.
Yeah.
All right. Some of my favorites from over the years. I've told this before, but many years ago when George and I worked at KRLD AM, we used to broadcast these tournaments. We used to do the stroke by stroke coverage. So we'd be out on the course, a bunch of different reporters. Usually it was Brad Sham in the tower at 18, yeah, throwing it to all of us. And one year we did the Senior Champions Tour, back then the Senior Tour Open, I think it was, or one of their majors.
Reunion Pro-Am, is that what they used to call that thing?
Something like that. There were a couple of different incarnations, yeah, of senior events. I can't remember specifically which one it was, but we had reporters on the course and we had guys that would carry their equipment. And one of our volunteers who would carry the equipment, his name was Don. He was an older gentleman, probably in his 60s at the time. And we all had headphones on. So when you have headphones on, you can't really be sure of how loudly you're speaking. Well, one time we were around a green, and we weren't broadcasting at the time. We were just watching the action, waiting for Brad to throw it to us. And it's me and Don. Don's carrying the equipment. We both have headphones on. And John Brody, the legendary NFL quarterback who later in retirement played on the Senior Tour, like I think what Romo's going to do, right?
Maybe.
John Brody is out there, and Brody at the time is in his 60s, and you know he's been beaten up in the NFL, and he's eyeing a putt, and then he starts to stand over the putt as he addresses it. And Don, who has these headphones on, who cannot hear himself speak. He has no idea how loudly he's speaking. Keep in mind, there were only maybe 15 people around the screen. So it's really quiet as Brody is over his putt. Don, thinking he's whispering to me, says in a very loud voice, "Look at Brody. Look at those old bones."
Oh.
And Brody backs away from him, from the putt, and looks back at Don. And Don doesn't put two and two together. And I kind of hit Don on the arm, like, you know. And Don still doesn't know why Brody backed off the putt. So then Brody readdresses the putt. And Don says again in a loud voice, "No way he's going to make this."
Damn it!
And Brody backs away again and looks at him. And this time I shoved Don, and it finally dawns on Don that Brody can hear him.
No. Isn't Don a professional broadcaster?
No.
No, he was just
no,
out
this
there
is a volunteer, 60-year-old okay. Volunteer carrying our
Don.
Equipment.
Oh, no. It's
no,
not
no.
That Don.
That reminds me of the other story involving another Don, the one you're thinking of, Gordo. And
okay.
This is our buddy Don, who's a sportscaster in San Antonio. And this is 20 years ago at the Texas Open at La Quintera. And Don and his cameraman are following Tom Kite. Tom Kite's in the hunt. You know, he's a couple shots back or whatever. And he has, like, this 40-foot putt for birdie. And Don is charting every one of Tom Kite's shots while his cameraman rolls on all the shots, and they'll do a package on it for the news that night. And here's Tom Kite over the putt, and he rolls in this 40-footer. And the gallery goes crazy, and Don writes it down, and he looks over at his cameraman, and his cameraman's just kind of looking back at him with this blank look. And Don says, "What?" And the cameraman says, "I didn't get it." And Don said, "Why?" And the cameraman said, because I didn't think he was going to make it. And Don said, he's Tom Kite. These are professionals. There's always a chance they're going to make it. Why didn't you get it?
Got a roll on it.
Because I didn't think he'd make it.
He is the story, then, yeah, you roll on everything. You never know what's going to happen on a golf course.
Right. Love those stories.
He just went ahead and pre-edited there. Yeah, he's not going to make this
Yeah,
one.
He's saving himself some time in the editing room.
We'll have to go through this footage.
I don't have to edit this footage out because I'm not even going to tape it.
Those stroke-by-stroke, play-by-play coverage days also continued in the first couple of years of the ticket. We used to carry those tournaments, too.
Yeah, it was great.
And one year, broadcasting the Byron Nelson, one of our field reporters, Mark Folliwell, was not only reporting out on the course on a really hot day, but he was also consuming margaritas.
Yeah, so this happened, and to be fair to Mark, I don't think he consumed while he was working.
No, right towards the end.
But he didn't drink water either.
That's right. He had worked all day long in about 100-degree heat, and he had not taken on any fluid the whole day,
no,
which is just insane, but putting himself at risk of heat stroke. So then at the end of his work day, he decides to hydrate, and he hydrated with a couple margaritas.
Just sucked them down.
Yes. And the person who was with him said that he drank them down like water.
Yeah.
I mean, just like gulping them.
Yeah.
And he did that, and I think that he also had a Sprite. That was always his big fig leaf to this whole story was, I didn't just have margaritas. I had a half a Sprite, too. And as they're leaving the golf course, there was another co-worker of ours that was riding with him home, and Mark was driving. He was in that old beaten down little small truck that he had. What was that, like an Isuzu Pup?
Yeah, or something? Something with the Nine Inch Nails sticker on the back.
Boy, what a classic vehicle. There's lots of stories that happened in that truck too. We don't have time for them today, but as they're driving home from the tournament, they're on 635, and the coworker looks over at him, and she says that she noticed he started drifting in the lane, and that's when she looked over at him, and he was head reclined facing up towards Jesus and was convulsing.
And foaming at the mouth.
And foaming at the mouth.
He's driving.
Yes, but he was having like a heat stroke while driving on 635, and I think she had to wrestle the wheel and get him off to the side of the road and, you know, park it.
Boy,
in
they were
an embankment,
lucky that wasn't
ditch
a
it.
Terrible yeah. ending there.
I know it. They had to pull over on LBJ because he was foaming at the mouth.
Because he hydrated with margaritas.
Yeah, with margaritas. And I said, you know, Mark, did you have the salt rim on the margarita too?
Obviously. Always.
Loves that.
Would be opposed to it.
Boy, we partied hard in those days. The early days of the ticket were so full throttle.
I bet that was in the afternoon, so I bet you two knuckleheads
probably went out later that night.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
After he recovered.
Oh, and Mark would routinely, we would go to Louie's, and he would have like a margarita and a beer in the other hand and a dip in his mouth while drinking and a cigarette going. We couldn't get enough substances in our bodies at once.
And finally, from our wireless days, when our show used to do our morning program from either the Nelson or Colonial, we would send Gordo out with the wireless microphone and ran into so many great, colorful characters over the year. None more colorful than Fort Worth the Caddy from Colonial. And this was, gosh, 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And we believed that Fort Worth was a smoker. We're not 100% sure now.
Yeah.
But this is all the audio that remains of our interaction with Fort Worth the Caddy.
I'm very sure. Yeah. Go for work. Go for work. For work is in the house.
You got a big kick out of me there.
A nice, funny guy.
I loved Fort Worth. From his name to his voice, and he's such a cheerful guy.
And he's wearing like salmon colored pants, kind of pink pants. He was such a character.
Greatest.
Passed away a few years ago, and the P1 sent us his obituary from the Star Telegram.
Yeah, and his name was, it was listed as Fort Worth.
I think. Yeah, Fort Worth. I can't remember his first name, but they put in Fort Worth.
Fort Worth.
He was so great. And wasn't he friends with Ed?
Ed.
Mm-hmm, the other caddy.
That yes. George called Ayotte. Because George claims that he knew a lot of people named Ayotte.
I knew one named Ayotte. And he said, you ask him what his name was, and he said, Ayotte.
He did not. It was clearly Ed.
Then you guys jumped on me. But
they were good buddies.
The Ayotte that you knew, how did he spell his name?
A-Y-E-T-T-E.
That's so weird. Mm-hmm. What a weird name.
Yeah.
This made-up detail by George.
It wasn't made up. I was wrong that day. All right, it's 7:50 on the ticket.